God has truly called us, chosen us, and is even madly in love with us. And Mary Ann now is going to share about a new life that God wants to give us.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the seminar, my name is Mary Ann Kramer. I've been a member of Lighthouse Community for about 5 years, and I am a member of St. Anne Parish. My talk this evening is on a new life. So if I'm going to talk about a new life, I have to talk about my old life before attending the Life in the Spirit seminar and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm single, but I've been blessed with a large family. I have two wonderful parents. My father is deceased. Today's his birthday. They were devout Catholics, and they passed on the faith. I have three brothers. They're married, and a sister, many nieces and nephews, and great nieces and nephews. And when we get together, there's about 40 of us. We're loud, but loving, but very close. I thought I was a good Catholic. I actually wasn't. I was a lukewarm Catholic. I was attending Mass on Sunday, but I wasn't always present as I should have been. I was distracted. My mind would wander. Sometimes I would be one of those persons that was looking at my watch. And I was really just filling a seat. I was attending Mass more out of obligation instead of love. Through my 20s and 30s, I stopped going to confession. I still went to Sunday Mass, and those sins were piling up, and I wasn't receiving the Lord in a state of grace. In fact, if you would have told me, what is the state of grace, I would have just shook my head and said, don't know the meaning. I was reading junk, romance novels, murder mysteries, and the books gradually became more graphic, darker, and I could feel my soul becoming darker too. It matters what you put in front of you, and today, newspapers, television, anything, the internet, your iPad, your iPhone, it matters what you put in front of you. I even remember when I was moving into my new condo, my parents gave me a crucifix as a gift. I was trying to decide where to hang it up. My mom suggested my bedroom, and I first said no. It was the thought of reading those dark and graphic books and knowing that I was going to look up and see the crucifix. I was ashamed. I'll tell you more about the crucifix at the end of my talk. It was in my 40s. Through a series of family heartaches, crosses, that I sought God, or I should say that God sought me. He never stops seeking us. We are the ones who turn away. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Jesus. Scripture tells us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." It was on January 6, 2002, and I remember that date clearly because it was my mom's birthday, that one of my brothers came to the birthday party without my sister-in-law. And it was after the birthday party that he told my sister and I that he and his wife were having marital problems. And so we called her up. She came over. We cried together. And I said, "Well, with God's help, your marriage can be saved." And I suggested that they go to confession. I, who meanwhile hadn't been to confession in years, offered this advice. And there is scripture for this too. "Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite. Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." Well, God was working to change my life that night, too. I started saying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy on that night for their marriage. God's grace and great mercy saved their marriage and started changing my lukewarm soul. Each day, the Chaplet of Mercy is said for a different set of souls, and the ninth day is for the souls who have become lukewarm. At the time, I didn't think I was a lukewarm soul. Oh no, I was praying for those other souls. I was lying to myself. Here's what the Lord said to St. Faustina about lukewarm souls. Most compassionate Jesus, you are compassion itself. I bring lukewarm souls into the abode of your most compassionate heart. In this fire of your pure love, let these tepid souls who like corpses, okay, the Lord's telling me I was like a corpse, fill you with such deep loathing, be once again set aflame. We had prophecy tonight about a burning ember wanting to set us all aflame. O most compassionate Jesus, exercise the omnipotence of your mercy and draw them into the very ardor of your love and bestow upon them the gift of holy love, for nothing is beyond your power. I didn't know it then, but this prayer, and Father was talking a lot about prayer in the first talk tonight, started my conversion of heart. It also says in the book of Revelation, so, since you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound very good to hear God tell you, I'm going to spit you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. Another cross. In 2004, at 80 years of age, my dad had surgery for colorectal cancer, followed by chemotherapy. It was hard to see him suffering in pain, and he would have that suffering on and off for 7 years. It was at that time I began to pray the rosary. My mom had a rosary novena booklet, and she would try, as we were growing up, to say the rosary. She would ask us often, will you say the rosary? And I would say, no. But it was seeing that my dad's suffering that brought me to her novena booklet. I picked it up. She saw me with it. And she said, would you like a novena booklet? And that time I said, yes. Mother Mary always leads us back to her son. In 2005, another brother was struggling. And we had a family intervention to help him. It was after counseling that he told us the reasons for his struggles. In 1970, he was molested by a priest at school. We were sad and angry and shocked. He had never told anyone, but had held that off. He had held it in all those years. Having heard this news, as I look back, I can see how all our lives were affected. He was the victim, but our family was too. I cried inside, thinking of the pain he went through alone. I then hid the hurt inside me and also the anger. It was when I went back to confession and confess my own sins and the anger I held inside, and I said I forgave the priest who had hurt my brother, I felt a great weight lift from me. I said I wasn't going to cry. At this time of suffering in our church, we can't pray for healing for all. We can pray for the light of God's truth to prevail. When we say them at Mass, the vocation prayers for priests stir among our men a desire to be good and holy priests. This is a heartfelt prayer from me and my family. We need good and holy priests. And of course, the words in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. And then there's also, if I tell you, just in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. As I told you earlier, I love to read, but I was reading those not good books. Even though I was growing spiritually, I was still reading the garbage. And you know the saying, garbage in, garbage out. Well, I needed to get the garbage out for good. Excuse me. So it was then that I said the prayer, God, you know how much I love to read. I don't want to read these books anymore. What do you want me to read? And shortly after that prayer, I started having people just give me books out of the blue to read. All good books to read. Good holy books. Books Scott Hahn was they named one of the authors. And it was during Lent of 2007, when I was wondering what to do for Lent, I decided to go to Eucharistic Exposition. I started for 15 minutes, 15 became 30, 30 became 45, and then an hour. When it was over, I didn't want to quit going to Holy Hour. It is sitting in the silence of adoration that the Lord can speak to my heart. So now I have to tell you how I came to the Life in the Spirit seminar. My being baptized in the Spirit and my new life, my new relationship with the Spirit of God. God our Father wants us all to have a new life. He sent His Son Jesus into the world so that we would be given a new source and a new life in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you are given power to know God and to live a new life. It was in the summer of 2014, I was invited to a Mass with Healing service here at St. Ignatius Church. Lighthouse Community was sponsoring it, and their mission is to bring a new life in Christ, to experience God's personal, unconditional love, and to experience and share God's spiritual gifts. And a Lighthouse member invited me. She said that her prayer group was assisting at the Mass. The only thing I heard was prayer group. I had been praying to be led to a prayer group. I don't know if any of you attending the seminar tonight have ever been to a Mass with Healing service. You will be able to do so during the third week of this seminar. I had never gone to one, and I was surprised. I saw prayer for healing, lifting up of hands in praise, and heard prophecy. The Mass with Healing service led me to attend a Women's Day of Renewal, and it was the first retreat I had ever attended, and I enjoyed the day very much. I went home refreshed and renewed in my faith. And there was a flyer there that was talking about the Life in the Spirit program. So I pulled out the flyer when I got home, looked it over, I put it on the kitchen counter. I liked the picture of Jesus on the front door saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Still, I went back and forth about attending. I thought, well, why should I attend a five-week seminar when I just spent a day at a retreat? I actually threw it in the garbage, but I didn't get to the end of the hallway when a voice was saying inside of me, no, 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 no. And I think that was my guardian angel. And so I signed up for the seminar. I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit was going to open my heart to His great love, a new life, a fuller life in the Holy Spirit. 3 days before the seminar started, I found out I was losing my job of 37 years. I believe God led me to the Life in the Spirit at that time for a particular reason. The flyer said, are you looking for more meaning and purpose in your life? Would you like a closer relationship with God? My answer was yes, so I attended. On the fourth week of the seminar, there was personal prayer said for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a release of the Holy Spirit already within us. The personal experience of being baptized in the Spirit brings you into a new way of life. It is Jesus that gives us this new life. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus makes all things possible. It is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit that brings to life the gifts of the Holy Spirit received when we were baptized and confirmed. Those gifts listed in Isaiah chapter 11, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fear of the Lord, fortitude, piety. Until I attended the Life in the Spirit seminar, I did not truly know God, the Holy Spirit, as I should have. I didn't know or experience the spiritual gifts, the charisms of the Holy Spirit, such as what Sister was talking about at the beginning. Prophecy, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongue, healing, intercessory prayer, to name just a few. After the seminar was over, I continued to come to Lighthouse Community Prayer Worship each week to listen to the Holy Spirit, learn more about the spiritual gifts, and what it means to be lived baptized in the Holy Spirit. My own prayer life, after being baptized in the Spirit, changed. I came to know God the Father as my Father, Jesus, my Savior, the Holy Spirit, my advocate and teacher in a new way. My prayer life became more centered on God and less on myself. My prayer is more often prayer of thanks and praise. I can pray in the gift of tongues. I didn't receive the gift of tongues on the first Life in the Spirit seminar, but I did 1 year later. I had to learn more about the gift. I read the Bible about that. I can pray as the Holy Spirit inspires me to praise God when I do not know how I should pray. And the Holy Spirit sent me on a path of learning. I attended classes on the Mass and the Catechism. I read the Catechism. I had never done that before. I went to a Christ Renews His Parish retreat at my parish and gave a witness talk, something I would never have been able to do without the courage of the Holy Spirit. I had never been up before anyone speaking at all in front of anyone. That was a first. It was a gift of the Holy Spirit, praying about it, and the gift of discernment. I learned to pray and ask God about everything. To pray, I will, O God, what you will. And the Holy Spirit led me to sponsor a young man in the RCIA program, and I learned right along with him. As I mentioned earlier, I read thousands of books, and yet I never read the Bible, and so I kept the Bible by my bed and started reading it. It took me a year and a half, and I finally finished, and I think the fruits of the Holy Spirit developed within me love and joy and peace and patience. Okay, I'm still working on that patience with the grace of God. Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Being baptized in the Spirit is only the beginning of a new life. The whole of the Christian life is conversion. It's daily, constant, and ongoing. A friend of mine told me we are all custom made by God. Different people see different changes happen to them as a result of being baptized in the Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one, given through the Spirit, an expression of wisdom. To another, an expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirit. To another, varieties of tongues. To another, to interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributed them individually to each person as he wishes. And finally, in closing, you'll recall I mentioned about being ashamed of myself when looking at the crucifix. Well, no more. I have a new life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I now stand in front of the crucifix, and I lift my hands in praise. I kiss Jesus' feet, touch his hands, the crown of thorns in his pierced side, and as Psalm 86 acclaims, I will praise you with all my heart, glorify your name forever, my Lord and my God.